Hello and welcome to episode 4 of Two Geeks M2C, Two Geeks Movies to Comics. My name's Kevin.
I'm Simon.
Bob the intern here.
And today we're going to discuss a whole slew of movies and related stuff. So I'm going to start off with the first project we'll be discussing, and that's Juno.
I don't think that really is the first topic of discussion, Kev. I seem to be in a weird place today. Don't you feel that way?
Well, actually, Simon, you're always in a weird place, so, and I don't want to go there. But anyway.
We just want our listening audience to know we're now recording in our new studios. We quite like them, don't we?
Yeah, Kilberry Allen Studios here. So, yeah, it's all right.
And we're also recording on a brand new computer, and we have a new guest star, Bob the intern. Yeah, Bob the intern, as you can tell, why he's an intern. He doesn't quite know what he's doing yet, but that's okay.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Bob the intern?
I'm Bob the intern. I just recently met these two guys who are crazy in love with movies.
Wow, that was a lot about you, Bob. Bob has been a friend of mine for many years and enjoys movies as much as me and Kev here, and he should be a regular commentator if he remembers how to talk into a mic when we have it on.
Okay. And so anyway, let's get back to the first movie we're going to discuss now that we've gone off the rails a little bit, and that's Juno. And so what did you guys think of Juno?
I thought it was like this year's Little Miss Sunshine. I'm just like sitting there looking, going, Juno got nominated? Okay, I'll watch it. Yeah, it was okay. It wasn't great. Wasn't bad. I liked it, but it wasn't fantastic.
I really enjoyed it. I thought Ellen Page did a really good job on it. And J.K. Simmons, as her father, did a wonderful job as her father.
Wow, that was vastly insightful there, Bob.
Well, you know, I thought it was pretty cool. It was, you know, you never really get a chance to see J. Jonah Jameson having Kitty Pryde for a daughter, and you had the dude from Superbad, the gay dude, as the father of the child, you know, from Arrested Development.
Are you saying Michael and Sarah is gay, Kevin?
Well, he wasn't Superbad, but I liked the film a lot myself. I thought it was entertaining, and I liked the music, and I liked the look of the film. It was cute.
I guess my biggest problem with the movie is right near the end. You know, when you guys have all seen it, so I'm going to bring us back and have a little spoiler. They get to the end of the movie. She writes Jennifer Gardner a note, and we don't get to find out till the very end of the movie, pretty close to the end of the movie, and you go to the wall saying, I'm in, or I'm on, or you're on, I can't quite remember. I'm in if you're in. Shouldn't the movie have ended there?
I don't think so. I think it went a little further than that, but it was okay because, like, Jennifer Garner and Ellen Page just continued to bond in that way, so.
Like, who cared? Like, they played the music again. Like, okay, I'm done. Like, Juno goes back to her life. Whoop-dee-doo.
Well, in that regard, I think that was the point. I think it was to show that she was still able to retain a normal life and actually brought her closer together with the father of the child, even though they didn't have a kid that they had access to.
Come on, guys. Like, we knew she was going to go back. We know she's already an abnormal kid. Because, I mean, what kid goes through this? Like, oh, well, I'm pregnant. Whoop-de-doo. La-la-la-la. I thought that was a little strange. And I thought the movie should just end it. I just don't like movies that just go on longer than I think they should.
This is not Return of the King, okay? This is not 25 endings. This is she gives birth to the kid, and then she goes off and hangs out with her boyfriend, and everybody's happy, and we're never going to see these fuckers again, so it's all going to be okay.
But don't you think she has some underlying issues? Okay, everything's good. I had sex with you. We had a kid. La la, now we don't have a kid, so everything just goes back to normal. Ha ha ha. Give me a break.
No. Okay, and the next film on our list. Okay, Bob.
I think they still wanted to show that her, Ellen Page's character, and Michael Cera's character still had an ongoing friendship. Besides the fact that there was a kid that came out of it.
I think, the immortal words of myself, boring. What do we got up next here, Kevin?
Well, speaking of boring, how about the assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford?
Yeah, the coward Robert Ford. I wish Jesse had shot him in the first 10 minutes. 2 hours and 46 minutes I might have in my life. But I don't know if I'm ever getting back. I don't know how to describe this movie other than it was on for 2 hours and 46 minutes. And the narrator was nice. And I just didn't care. I'm like, it's on, they're talking. Oh, and they're still talking. And they're still talking. But I gotta admit, I enjoyed the last half an hour of this movie when they wrapped it up. I thought it was the only part that was worth watching. So, watch the first 20 minutes and watch the last half an hour, and you pretty much get the highlights.
I thought the assassination of Jesse James, the assassination of my two hours for me, because I gave it three chances. Sorry, I couldn't watch any more of it.
Are you saying for our special podcast here, Bob, you couldn't finish a movie?
Yes, I am, Simon.
We got to send you out and see Hail to the King. Now, there's a movie you shouldn't be able to finish.
Pulling teeth, man. Hail to the King. Well, I didn't mind the assassination of Jesse James. I thought Brad Pitt was okay. I found Casey Affleck to be better than I expected because I can't think of a single Casey Affleck performance. I've seen him in movies, but I can't think of a single performance where he actually did a job.
What about Gone Baby Gone, Kevin? Didn't you see that one?
Didn't see it.
Why haven't you? Maybe we'll have to do that one for the next show, because I think Casey Affleck proved he can act better than his brother, but his brother can't act, so Ben's a little rough, I think, around the edges. Like, it's called take an acting class. Maybe you can take Anson Kutcher with him. Any comments on that one, guys? They're all staring at me like, what's he talking about? It's Simon on a rant. Come on, Anson Kutcher's got movies coming up, but we'll get to those in a later podcast. What's up next for us, Kev?
Well, so what's the general?
You want to assassinate Jesse James, starring my good buddy Brad Pitt? And I give Casey Affleck an up-and-coming award. The last two movies I've been impressed with him. I say if you got nothing else to do, do you want to kill 2 hours and 46 minutes of your life, go for it. But it's not great. You're not going to be excited, but it's tolerable. It's nice to look at, very picturesque.
I already killed the movie three times, so I'm giving it a thumbs maybe.
And I'm going to give it a thumbs up. It was okay. If you're a patient individual and you have time, you don't mind westerns, then you'll do all right. Next movie on our list is Justice League: The New Frontier, which is the animated adaptation of the award-winning Schuster Award and Eisner and whatever award-winning limited series by Darwin Cook.
I gotta admit, I haven't read the graphic novel. I know you have, Kevin. I'm sure you'll get to it when we get there. I gotta admit, I sat down going, okay, as long as it's better than the Marvel movies, I'll be happy with it. This was fantastic. This had to be the best animated movie I've seen in years. I haven't seen the commentary track. I know I hate DVD extras. I always complain about them. I am psyched about rewatching this. I absolutely could sit down, put my wife in front of it, and I think she would enjoy it. I was absolutely beyond belief stunned. This should have been in a theater. I wanted THX sound. I wanted my popcorn with my ketchup spread on it so I can go for refill. This movie was awesome.
I really enjoyed this movie because as a fan of Justice League in the first place and a fan of comics, and going back through Justice League and Justice Society before that, I thought the artwork was terrific, and the fact that followed closely to Justice Society's when the World War came out. They changed the war, but when the World War came out and they had to reveal their identities and they didn't want to do it, so they quit, but then they reformed again once this new threat happened. We're not saying what threat, but it's a really good movie. I recommend it very much.
I thought it was a great adaptation. I mean, the plot is basically what would happen if the Justice League had formed when they had originally been created, which is mid-1950s. So post, sort of in the midst of the Cold War, after the whole McCarthyism and where the Justice Society was forced to reveal their identities and they chose not to and they stepped down. And this is all, of course, the origins of Green Lantern Hal Jordan, Barry Allen the Flash, the Martian Manhunter John Johns, so forth, and how Batman revised his costume, Superman changed his attitude, and all that. I thought it was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. It's made some changes from the graphic novel. It made sense. to fit it in the 80-some-odd minutes that DC dictates it had to have been. But I really liked it. I give it a thumbs up.
I don't know. I mean, we haven't even discussed, I think, the best part. I mean, this made Green Lantern cool and The Flash cool. And I think anything can make Green Lantern cool. I mean, Green Lantern from the comics is very, he's Green Lantern. He fights these weak alien villains half the time. His power is yellow. He doesn't even use his ring till halfway through this movie. And at the very end of the movie, and I'm just like, wow. And they got rid of Superman quick, but why does Aquaman just randomly show up with him and his fish and go, I'm this guy's calling for Lois. Anybody here named Lois? I thought that was kind of funny. I thought it was great. I suggest everyone go see it.
I like the telling of the origin of Green Lantern because that one I missed in the comics, but his origin was, I heard about it and it was bang on. Like, I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the whole movie as it is. They showed, like, the classic costumes of when Superman was, Superman's costume was the original Superman costume. They've changed it over the years. Batman, he changed his attitude, and then you have Robin coming in and saying something. So it was a good movie. I really enjoyed it.
Now, we know Bob probably hasn't been caught up to movies as we are, Kevin, but what did you think of Hitman?
I actually watched this last night, funny enough, on DVD. And, you know, well done, well-crafted film. I wasn't really that interested in it, but... You know, it was okay. I enjoyed it. I thought it was okay.
You just watched this last night? What kind of prep is that for a podcast?
About cramming.
I saw Hitman in theaters, probably the second, third day it came out. I thought this movie should have no dialogue. Zero. Absolutely none. Don't talk through the whole movie and just run a little instrumental soundtrack behind it because the acting was beyond bad. But it was great to look at. I thought the action scenes were phenomenally fun when they were staged. But just getting there, just don't get there and just keep running action, 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 I thought, and I would have enjoyed it much more.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned the acting, and I thought in some ways it was like you remember Dino De Laurentiis used to put out these movies, like there'd be Lou Ferrigno and Hercules and things like that, where one guy could speak English and the rest were all dubbed in. They were all like Italian or Russian or something like that.
Well, yeah, I could see where you got that.
Yeah, I mean, I really got the feeling that the only guy was the main character who was speaking English.
I thought they picked up Matthew Lillard from Hill of the King going, I'm the Scooby, I'm the Killer King.
Oh, God. Back to the... it's not Hail to the King, it's In the Name of the King. And it was, For the Love of God, Please No, is what it should have been called. So speaking of For the Love of God, how about Enchanted?
Hold on a
second. No, what?
Have you recommended Hitman to anyone yet?
I don't really feel comfortable recommending Hitman.
If you're drunk and want to go to your local video store and get a 10-for-1 deal on their dollar each, I'd strongly recommend Hitman.
Right, yeah, when it's on demand or Much Music or whatever it is, this movie station, then you can watch it there. And, of course, you've got nothing better to do. the next movie on our list is Enchanted, the Disney film, which sort of mixes animated with live action. So, Simon, you're a Family Guy. What do you think of this one?
I'm a Family Guy, yeah, but it doesn't mean I watch every movie with my kids. Oh, I'm like the Family Guy, yeah, I could say I'm like Peter from Family Guy. I was watching this movie, I'm like, is this a cartoon? Did I go into the right movie? I was a little confused for the first 20 minutes until she shows up in New York City and goes, oh, I'm a princess and I'm lost, someone help me. I'm like, this chick is demented. Why did I pay money to see this? And you know what? As it went along, I was like, okay, where's this going? Oh, okay. I get it. She's going to sing the happy working song now and clean up the apartment. Just kill me. And you know what? I kept saying that to myself. But then we got closer to the end. I'm like, oh, maybe I do like this. Oh, it's getting better. Oh, I see where they're going. Oh, Susan Sarandon's finally going to show up. Oh, it's the guy from Harry Potter trying to kill people again. Oh, great. Isn't this fantastic? Yeah, Enchanted was on, It was there. It was okay. It just reminded me of a Disney cartoon, but live action. And Bob the Intern, what did you think?
Bob the Intern really loved this movie. He loved it so much he went to see it a third, not only a second, but a third time. I really enjoyed it, being a fan of both animated and live action movies of Disney. I thought it was really good. So I once I saw it the first time, I wanted to see it a second and third time, so which I did. So I wanted to, I really enjoyed the acting in it. Amy Adams is the up-and-coming actress. She's been in other movies like that you've reviewed, you two. Like Charlie Wilson's War, I believe you reviewed that before. That's it.
Wow, Bob, you had a lot to say. Now, you keep mentioning Amy Adams, so you didn't mention how good she looks in this movie, and any movie I've seen her in, I quite enjoy looking at Amy Adams.
Yeah, I got no problem with Amy Adams, man. She's all right. I thought the film was enjoyable. I liked the songs. It had McDreamy in it, right? Not that I care. But no, I like.
We all know you like the McDreamy guy.
Well, actually, he's an entertaining actor. He's a guy to watch. I guess I see he's getting a lot more film parts again.
Can you tell the difference between James Marsden and Patrick Dempsey? I'm not sure I can.
Well, one was Cyclops. Yeah. Or Dance. I enjoyed, you know what, I liked the film a lot. I liked the happy working song. I liked the fact that it was rats and pigeons and cockroaches and stuff like that. And the song when, how do you know that, what's the song called again? How do you really know he loves you or something like
that? No, that's the song you got.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You know, I've seen it twice. I watched it once alone and didn't find it that entertaining. But then I watched it with the family and my niece and nephew and my parents and all that. And we loved it. It was great.
Why were you watching it alone?
That's one of those things that I do by myself. I don't know.
Why not very peculiar alone watching Enchanted?
How do you respond to that? I was clothed.
Well, I'm afraid I'm going to have to side with Kevin on that song because I really enjoyed the song How Do You Know. It was catchy, and actually my feet started tapping when I'm listening to that, so I really enjoyed the song. Mr. Negative, Mr. Simon here doesn't think musicals are all that good, but, you know.
We'll have a whole show of musicals coming up. Don't worry, I guess we should get to the fun part. I thought this was okay. It's watchable. If you have a family with kids about 8 to 13, 8 to 12, I think they'll love it.
I give it a definite thumbs up in my case, even without kids.
Yeah, same for me. I'd have to say thumbs up. And fun for everyone except cranky old dudes like Simon. So, oh man, now we're going to start digging into the cream of the crop here. Blonde and Blonder, starring Pamela Anderson and Denise Richards. I don't know where you found this movie. I don't care. To talk about it, hours of my life wasted. This movie was like one of the worst. It's like made in Canada. It is terrible. It really was one of the worst things I'd ever seen. And Simon is laughing so hard he can't even speak, but I'm going to give this over to him.
Oh my God, this movie was beyond bad. I'm sitting there going, oh, Kevin's going to kill me. I can't wait to give him this movie. It's like five guys had $100,000 they accidentally never spent somehow winning Lotto 649 and phoned up Denise Richards and Pamela Anderson go, look, we want to fly you out to Vancouver. We don't have any money, so we're going to shoot this all on one stage lot. We're going to hire some Canadian actors we know and pay them nothing, pretty much free lunch, and make a movie. Let me tell you, I've never seen, I have theater people when I went to high school that acted better than this whole movie. The cops were dumb. The crooks were beyond stupid. It was like watching an old episode of King of Kensington they rewrote because it was so bad. I would not recommend this movie to my worst enemy because that means I would have to actually say I watched it again. This is the worst garbage I have seen in my life. I thought Cloverfield was bad until I saw this. And Cloverfield should be up for an Oscar next year after sitting through this crap.
Well, you know, I really enjoyed the performances of Chris Farley's less talented brothers, Mo and Wally. I think, I don't know what their names were, but they were really, anyway, you know, they're in BC, and then they are going to Niagara Falls, and they're at Niagara Falls, but it looks suspiciously like BC. It's just, it was wrong on so many levels. It's just, I don't know how you felt that we should watch this. It's just, so I got to give this a really low, not even if you have nothing else to watch, go read a book, you know, go walk in the park, something else.
Let me say, you're not writing this movie to, for the acting. You're looking for other attributes the actress is going to have.
It doesn't even have the other attributes. If it had nudity or something, it might have redeemed itself, but it's just, it's like a remake of Dumb and Dumber with two blondes. I mean,
you know what? That's probably what it's mostly like, but it's the Canadian version.
The Canadian version. And we all know how Canadian product is great. No, actually, it depends on, of course, Canadian comics are good. But anyway.
I just want to get to our next film, Blonde Ambition. Is this a step up from Blonder and Blonder?
Only on the most superficial of levels. This is Jessica Simpson. And Luke Wilson. Oh, great acting talent there, Luke Wilson. And whatever his name is, Andy Dick. And the girl from The Shadow that hasn't done anything in a long time, Penelope, whatever. Penelope Ann Miller, yes. Who's done much better things in her career. And some dude I remember from The Cosby Show, but that was about it. It was not an entertaining film. It was, I don't know.
Don't knock Theo from The Cosby Show. That was Theo, by the way, just so you know. And Penelope Ann Miller has never made, it's Malcolm Jamal Warner, if I remember correctly. Oh, some dude I saw on The Cosby Show. Whoever. This movie stinks. It's bad. It's horrible. Jessica Simpson, stop acting, stop singing, and start posing nude for Playboy. Because that's the only next time I want to see you. You can't sing. You can't act. You're going to make Dukes of Hazzard 2. I would have to sit through it and complain about it. So please don't do it. So I don't have to complain about it. All I want you to do is pose naked for Playboy. That's all your job is.
Uncle Jesse was in this one, too.
Oh, yes. Uncle Jesse was in this again. See? So maybe that's how she got the job. Good old Willie Nelson. Like, he wasn't in this for the paycheck.
Yeah, well, big thumbs down for Blonde Ambition.
Oh, I give it a big thumbs up, because she looked fantastic. So put it on mute, put on some background music, and watch it. And then if you're really drunk after you've had like 15 beers while trying to watch her act, I suggest watching Blonde and Blonder the same way. By the time you finish that 2-4, you'll be on the floor, passed out, the movie will be over. You won't have to worry about it at all. Now we're going to my other favorite blonde that I know can act, but picks the most horrible movies continuously. Speaking of, Fool's Gold, starring Matthew McConaughey and Kate Hudson, who, like I said, can act. What happens is Almost Famous. I don't really want to do Spider-Man. I don't think that's a good idea. I'm going to do another movie you've never heard of, and then I'm going to fade off into some obscurity.
Well, you're on a roll today. I kind of like this movie. I thought it was cute. It had Donald Sutherland in it, and it had, I don't know what his daughter's name was. I don't know who the actress was. She was kind of cute. But, you know, I thought the film was enjoyable. It was kind of mindless entertainment. It's along the same lines as Sahara and their other great movie, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Yeah, so, you know what, I thought this was entertaining. It was fun in the sun.
How could you find this entertaining? Alexis Dukoff, I think she's in Sex and Breakfast, would be the movie you've seen. I've only ever seen her in. So I'm sitting here watching this movie, and it's about a couple that are supposed to get a divorce, and they're looking for gold in the sea. And that's what it's called, Fool's Gold. And the movie goes from there. They break up, and Matthew McConaughey suddenly finds the gold, and a bunch of hijinks come from this, and of course they have sex, and they come back together for the end of the movie. Who cares? Absolutely, who really cares? I love Donald Sutherland, but again, he's here for the paycheck. It's Michael Caine Jr. all over again.
So sad. So sad. Anyway, I guess Simon's going to say thumbs down for Fool's Gold.
You know what? It's Kate Hudson. I mean, I had a really good, enjoyable month. I got to see Jessica Simpson. I got to see Denise Richards, who still can't act to save her life. And I got to see Pamela Anderson. And then I got to see Kate Hudson. Speaking of other movies she's been in, please remember, you were supposed to be in Spider-Man. You didn't want to do it. Now you're doing Fool's Gold. Boring. So I give this, yeah, it's okay. Take your wife. She'll be happy. Take anybody that likes chick flicks, good. Take Bob, actually. Bob likes chick flicks. He'll probably enjoy this movie, too, because he hasn't seen it. He didn't do his prep.
No cramming. Whoa, jeez. All right. Well, let's move on to something that I think Bob has seen, and we'll go dig into the DVD vaults and a film called Quills.
I don't think Bob has seen Quills either. Now, let me discuss Quills. This movie starts off in a mental institution, I think it's the 1800s or 1700s, whatever, with Joaquin Phoenix hanging out there, and I feel bad, I've forgotten her name, that British actress, it's really cute. Kevin, help me out here.
The one from Titanic, right? Kate Winslet.
Thank you, Kevin. It's Kate Winslet, and she's like a chambermaid. And she goes and gets the quills. So with the quills is the Marquis de Sade, played with Geoffrey Rush, who writes these erotic poetry that everybody loves, but the king hates, so they have to keep him locked up. Okay, so you're sitting here, you're like, okay, this might go somewhere, and it never goes anywhere. Michael Caine, of course, showing up for his paycheck as always, doesn't show up till near the end of the movie. And then you sit there, a bunch of things happen. Michael Caine cuts out the Marquis de Sade's tongue because he's finding different ways to write once they stole his quills away. And then by the end of the movie, Michael Caine's wife ran away after she read the Marquis de Sade's book with the guy that built his house. And then they start printing the Marquis de Sade's work because they're allowed to again, and he's making a lot of money. What a waste of my time. 2 hours to end up where I started off. Who cares? What do you think, Kevin?
You know, it's been a while since I've seen this film, and you know what? None of your refresher course there has reminded me of what the film was about. I remember the Marquis de Sade. I remember Joaquin Phoenix, and I remember Kate Winslet, and maybe the first 20 minutes of the film. And after that, it's all a blank. It was forgettable, completely forgettable.
You don't remember Kate Winslet getting raped by the 400-pound guy in the monastery? Oh, that was really exciting. Let me tell you, folks. Skip this. You know what? I think you should just your night. You should watch Jessica Simpson and watch Blonder and Blonder. Go rank Cloverfield in the name of the king and just shoot yourself by the time you get to Quills. That's my recommendation. This movie stinks. This had to be the worst month of movies I've had to sit through in a long time. There's about 3 movies which were coming up to that I've actually liked. Everything else, don't waste your time for the most part.
All right, let's dig into the vaults for another oldie, a recent oldie, and that's David Fincher's Fight Club with Brad Pitt and, what's his name from The Hulk?
Yeah, Kevin's not really like, the greatest with names. Fight Club, I gotta tell you folks, I've never seen Fight Club, and I feel really bad, because I remember years ago people were like, you gotta see Fight Club, you gotta watch Fight Club, I'm like, yeah, I'll get to it. Wow. That's all I can say about this movie. If you've never seen it, turn off this podcast. Run. Not walk, run, cap. Go buy a copy of Fight Club. This has to be beyond one of the best movies I've seen in such a long, long time. I could not figure this out. I was blown away by the ending. I don't even want to tell you the ending, which I normally spoil everything. I will not spoil Fight Club because it just blew me away, the ending of this movie.
I really loved it. It was a great film. David Fincher is one of my favorite directors, and this is one of the reasons why. Edward Norton is who we forgot. Ed Norton. Hey, Norton, we're going to the right from the Honeymooners. I really liked it. I enjoyed the film. I liked the look of it, the way it was done, the directing, everything. It's kind of, you know, Fincher's definitely become more restrained each picture he's done subsequently. You know, he was really avant-garde and trying new techniques in this film, and you see a little bit of it in Panic Room. And while I like Zodiac, I think we discussed that in an earlier episode, and I don't think we really enjoyed it in general. Or I didn't mind it, but Simon thought it was boring. That was really kind of a boring, I wouldn't say boring, but I would say it's more of a mundane effort compared to Fight Club, which is just, you know, the creative guns were firing when he made that film. So I really do recommend that. If you haven't seen it, you know, get over your side, like the Simon fears, and go and see that.
I got a question for you, Kevin. Brad Pitt. We've just watched The Assassination of Jesse James this month, which I got to admit, I liked. I liked him as an actor. After seeing Fight Club, I'm like, wow. Like, I don't know what happened. Like, does he just not know how to pick up Mr. Smith? Mr. Smith, I thought it was boring. He stunk. And I can't say any other Brad Pitt's off my movie. I mean, I'm really impressed by Brad Pitt. I never thought he could act, because I think the only thing I've ever seen him in before, this is Thelma and Louise.
Thelma and Louise, no, forgettable. I didn't mind Mr. and Mrs. Smith, but I see what you're saying. I mean, he's sort of treaded water in a lot of his film choices. Definitely Ocean's 11 and 12 and 13 and all that stuff. He's just sort of along for the ride in those movies. He's not... You know, in fact, I would say there's not a single person in that film that's really pushing their acting chops, except maybe Casey Affleck, who's trying but not succeeding. And Julia Roberts, I don't know. The whole film itself was all right, but... there's like a whispering of names here. It's distracting me, but... It's like the ticker tape, which, by the way, CNN, George Clooney. No. So where were we? Fight Club, thumbs up. And
get in your cab and go rent this movie now. Go buy it. Order it from Amazon. I'm not fussy. Go get Fight Club. Bob the intern's got something to say. Another movie he hasn't seen. Let's see what he's got to say this time, folks.
Well, now for Fight Club, going by that description, I think I will go see it. So I'll get in the cab.
There he goes, folks. That's the end of Bob the Intern for this podcast. He'll return next time for episode 5, hopefully. What's up next, Where's Cap?
Next one is another one from the old DVD vault, and that's Robin and Marion, starring Sean Connery and another name I can't remember.
This is really funny, folks, because Kevin actually owns this movie, and I've actually recently taken it off his shelf, taking it home, and it's got Audrey Hepburn. And I'll speak on this first, since Kevin had his opportunity and he missed. I could have a nap watching this movie, leave the room, wake up, and told I've really missed nothing. And I don't know if I should spoil the ending or not. I'll let Kevin just, you know what, I am going to spoil the ending. You sit here, nothing happens. It's like trying to watch a 60-year-old man hop over a wall for the whole movie. It's just like he's crying. Oh, I'm going to get up. Oh, I'm going to get a ladder. Oh, I'm halfway up. Oh, I gotta go down, I'm too tired. Oh, I'm back up the ladder. Oh, I'm over the wall finally. Oh, look, there's somebody about to give me a drink. Oh, it's Marion. Oh, hi, Marion, long time no see. Yeah, I've been waiting for you, Robin, I missed you. Here's some poison, you're dead. Ah, we're both gonna die together because I drank it too. The end. Boring. No action. The final fight scene with Robert Shaw was beyond forgettable. It looked like two guys that couldn't even lift their swords trying to hit each other. Kev, what do you have to say about this?
Now, I like this movie, okay, and I've seen it a few times on television. I enjoyed it the few times I did see it. I bought it on DVD, obviously, looking to see if I still liked it, and I did. I like the look of it. I like the feel of it. These are characters. These are well-known characters. Robin Hood, Maid Marian, the Sheriff of Nottingham. It's in their twilight years. Robin's been fighting in the Crusades with Little John. They come back to England. They reconnect. Some of the old prejudices and relationships resurface, and I mean, I enjoyed it. I liked it. I thought Robert Shaw was fantastic. He was definitely in the groove. Sean Connery was good as older Robin. I mean, it really is, you know, about characters who are in their later years trying to climb ladders, and that's what it's about. I mean, that's what it is, trying to overcome obstacles. Your age.
The obstacle here was trying to act. It was beyond overactive by Sean Connery, Kevin. I'm sorry. Audrey Hepburn was in and out in about 30 seconds.
Sure, but when we're talking about some of the best actors of that generation, of that time period, I mean, Sean Connery, Audrey Hepburn, and Robert Shaw.
20 years earlier, maybe. Come on.
Anyway, I liked it, so I think it's safe to say you didn't.
Yeah, it was awful.
Okay. All right, so, you know, steer clear of everything that we've talked about on this show. Except for Fight Club, which you should be in a cab by now. You should actually be at the video store by this point, by the time we've talked about this. All right, where is Bob right now? Can you call him? Maybe he's at the video store.
Maybe he's got some better movies to watch for our next podcast.
All right, well, we've got another stellar selection from the video vault for... you chose to review Jumanji, starring Robin Williams and a very young what's her name? Bonnie Hunt was in that, yeah. And, you know, Mary Jane Watson. Yeah. Kirsten Dunst.
You know what? Of all the movies I had to watch this month, as you can hear, folks, I was dying by the time I got to Jumanji. Actually, I just watched Fight Club just before I saw Jumanji. Wow. Why haven't I seen this movie either? Somebody should have taken that copy of Blunder and Blunder I was watching, whipped out the window, put me in the cab, and drove me to get the Fight Club and Jumanji for that. This movie was fantastic. I enjoyed it. I kept comparing it to Zathura, going, what happened to Zathura? They told me it was like Jumanji, but Zathura was, oh my God, Zach Braff, get a real job, because you stink. You keep showing me promise in Garden State, yeah, you're okay. I watched you in this. God Boss is in Garden State, guys, with Natalie Portman. Zathura? Doesn't he play the spaceman? I thought he played the spaceman. Oh, it doesn't matter. It's Jumanji is fantastic. Bonnie Hunt's in it, which is like, oh, she really did look that 20 years ago. I never know who Bonnie Hunt looks like somebody's mom the whole career of her life. She was never really attractive, just there. And I gotta admit, Robin Williams showing up in the first 10 minutes running around in his jungle outfit kind of scared me. But you know what? I really, really liked this movie. I thought it had a nice beginning. Kind of didn't know where it was going. Kind of went, oh, okay, we're going to go 20 years later. And these people are going to show up with B.B. Newworth. Oh, okay. And look, there's David Alan Grier. He still can't act. I didn't think he did have a career back then, but now you proved to me you still can. And I thought this movie was absolutely enjoyable. The game parts were good. I thought the graphics, the special effects for its time were good. I thought the flow was good. I loved the ending that they rebooted the movie by the end. Hopefully you're gone to rent this by the time you got to that part. This movie's excellent. What do you think, Bob?
I really enjoyed this movie, but I haven't seen it for a while, but I still remember it because it was it stuck in my mind. I really enjoyed the acting in it. Zathura, I enjoyed too, so I didn't really compare the two. I thought they were totally different. I know I'm going off on a tangent with Zathura, but we'll go back to Jumanji. David Alan Grier was good as the policeman. I thought Robin Williams did a good job. Kirsten Dunst did a good job. And they had the graphics in it were terrific because all the animals running everywhere were fantastic.
Sound like you being the animal, Bob, running to get Fight Club at the video store?
That would be me. And Enchanted, I'm going to get that one too. So the two of them at the same time.
That's a lot of movies for you in one night, Bob. Since you didn't do the prep for this podcast, I don't think you could make it through two in one night.
That was a really quick visit to the video store, by the way. Bob was gone, then he's back again. All of a sudden, it's like the video store is right next door. I liked Jumanji. It was a fun movie, and, you know, hey, it works. Dude, Zathura, not so much. I think it was because I liked the kids in Jumanji. I thought they were entertaining. The kids in Zathura were just annoying. Although, the teenage daughter was kind of cute, I guess, in Zathura. She was in that other movie, right, that was recently released with the ghosts in the house or something like that. I can't remember what it was called.
I haven't seen it yet, Kevin. I was sitting through Blonder and Blonder and Blonde Ambition. I should have...
through them. We were both, you were forcing me to sit through them.
That's right. Blame me. You're the guy. You're the guy that had movies on your shelf like Robin and Marion and can't remember who's in it. Good one, Kevin. Well, what's our last movie we have to review for today?
Suicide Kings.
Since both these guys can't remember seeing Suicide Kings, I'll have to talk about it since I saw it recently. Right. Now, talk about guys showing up for a paycheck. Hi, I'm Christopher Walken. I'm going to show up and get my paycheck. This movie had such promise, after I had to sit, it had David from Roseanne when he just came off Roseanne. I'm sitting there going, look, it's George Costanza, the whole movie. That's all I could hear in my voice. Was David Gillespie doing this old Jewish guy going, ah, look at me, clean out my house, ah, maybe a Jewish woman. He drove me nuts. If I could reach in the screen, punch his face in, throw him down the trash compactor, I would have been happy. I don't know who young Indiana Jones is, Kev. It might have been, but it had Jeremy Seto in it, which was quite shocking to me, and now he's become big on Law and Order, and he was also in a movie I quite enjoy called Waitress. I know these other two bozos here haven't seen a good movie in a while, so they wouldn't have seen Waitress. And that's about it. I wouldn't recommend Suicide Kings, but you're probably not hearing this yet, and you'll hear it later, because you guys are out getting Fight Club and skipping Cloverfield.
I like Cloverfield, just to rehash that, I didn't hate it as much as Simon did. Probably was he can't handle his motion sickness. Suicide Kings, you know, dude, I don't remember that movie at all. Another phone-in performance from Christopher Walken. It could have been Michael Caine. You know, he's in every other movie. I don't know. I have to say, don't bother. You see it, don't bother.
I have to agree with you. Go out and rent Blonder and Blonder.
So let's do a quick recap here on what we saw tonight or talked about tonight. Juno. So the Juno, what do we say, guys?
Thumbs up.
All right, thumbs up from all three of us. Justice League: The New Frontier.
Thumbs up.
Hey, wow, we got a new formula here. Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford. Okay, so avoid that one. Hitman.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in the middle on that one too, on the lower end. Enchanted.
Thumbs down.
Oh, we got a down and an up. So we're kind of tepid. All right, well, I say thumbs up on that one. Blonded Blonder. Simon.
Hey, can we just stop her?
All right, and Blonde Ambition sucked, and Fool's Gold you didn't like. And I thought it was okay. And Quills.
Did you see any good trade paperbacks, Kevin?
I'm just writing through these things. All right, let's go to the comic section. All right, every time we try to review one comic graphic novel for your enjoyment. And Simon was over at my place last time, and he grabbed one off the shelf. He said, maybe I should read this. Let's see what he thought of that one.
Oh, my God, people. It's called Hawk Girl, Hawk... I don't know what this thing was called anymore. Sorry, Kevin remembers the title of it. I'm trying to block it out of my head. Walt Simonson, I gotta admit, is an okay writer. I love his artwork. I'm trying to follow whoever drew these issues. I wish I had in front of me because I forgot to bring it because I'm a bad person. Renato Guidi, Kevin tells me, this is beyond impossible to follow. I don't know where he's going with the story. I can't figure out which character is which half the time. And by the end, I'm like, how many more pages do I have left to read? Am I almost done? I'd just like to pass this over to Kevin because I want to know why he actually paid money for this.
Well, I buy a lot of crap. What can I say? I didn't hate it. I thought it was okay, but it definitely is a down in quality over the previous volume, which had Howard Chaykin on the art.
There's an actual previous volume to this, Kevin?
Two previous volumes. So
you just kept buying them, hoping they would get better?
Pretty much, yeah. No, it's just, you know what, it's like buying a comics. I don't buy as many comics anymore. I buy trade paperbacks. So the next trade came out. I said, oh, you know what, I'll give this a shot. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't.
Now, speaking of good things Kevin bought recently, I think I remember Mickey saying something about picking up a hardcover copy of the new anniversary Killing Joke, which I'm sure he has the original somewhere. He probably just lost in his vast stacks of stuff and just felt the need to rebuy it. What do you think, Kev?
Well, no, I mean, I know where my copy of The Killing Joke is in the archives here, but I did pick up the new special edition hardcover of The Killing Joke by Alan Moore and Brian Bolland, and wow, outstanding. The new version, Bolland has gone back in and completely recolored everything. So the original version had sort of garish coloring, and that always bothered Bolland. So he went back and redid a lot of the stuff. So all the flashbacks are black and white with spot coloring. So what he would do is he would select certain items to focus in on, like the red hood and so on. Really enjoyable. I liked it. So I would highly recommend this.
Well, how can you not recommend it? Alan Moore, Brian Bolin, they blow away Barbara Gordon, which I thought was just totally useless from until she became Oracle. She was kind of like another one of the bat groupies I always found. And I thought this was amazing at the time it came. I gotta admit, I've had a little bit of problems following the art the first time through, but maybe because I've been Alan Moore writing full-length screenplays on every page, and I had to go back and reread it, but I thought this was truly a turning point for the Bat Universe when this book came out originally.
Yeah, I'd have to say I agree on that. Definitely this book influenced Tim Burton in doing the first Batman film. There's a fair amount of that in the Batman movie.
Wouldn't you say it also influenced the second one, too? Because I definitely think it's so much more darker than the first one.
The second what?
Batman movie.
What, Batman Returns?
That would be the second one, yes. Not the one that's not out yet.
No, I wouldn't say it had much influence on Batman Returns.
So how...
Go ahead.
How does this have an influence on the first one, not on the second one? The second one looks much more like The Killing Joke in my mind than the first one.
Well, because the killing joke is about the Joker, and the first Batman movie is about the Joker. I mean, his second film is Catwoman and Penguin, and it's a little darker, but it's more... Oh, God. Good poor Bob the Eater is reminding us that Christopher Walken makes another walk-on role here. Whenever you need a bit part... And you know that Michael Caine was in Batman Begins.
I have a great idea. Every time Christopher Walken or Michael Caine shows up in a movie, it's just from the background, money, 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 money.
Or how about Burt Reynolds in The Name of the King, man?
Burt Reynolds got paid high dough for that. I think they gave him at least breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and a hotel room for that performance.
Which he had to share with Matthew Lillard.
Well, I think that's it for this week, folks. Oh, you're right. I forgot the discussion question that we'll teach. I guess we were discussing this at a time, so I think we'll go with this one. What do you think of retelling of Secret Origins there, Kevin?
Retelling of Secret Origins? What, like with new twists and things like that?
Yeah, I would say so. But even that, like New Frontier, they kind of play with Green Lantern's one, but not so much that. It's when I'm reading something... And let's say, I don't know, it's for the sake of argument, Spider-Man New Day, number Spider-Man 566,000 billion, whatever. Let's retell the Spider-Man origin. Like, I can't be bothered. Like, if I want to read it, I have Archive Edition. I have a Marvel reprint. I must have about 14 different versions of the retelling origin of Spider-Man. If you want to read it, don't tell me it's something I just paid $3.99 for. It just pisses me off.
Well, you get pissed off about a lot of things, the retelling of the origin, I mean, Batman's origin has been retold a million times. I think it just comes with the territory. It's a fair number of new readers are coming to the books each month, so why don't they get a chance to recap?
But isn't that what the archive editions are for, or the trade paperback editions?
Yeah, but most kids don't have $50 to buy an archive edition.
Are they available on the internet? Maybe Marvel should put it on their website, The Origin of Spider-Man.
Well, I think they do, but not everybody has a computer available to them when they're reading a comic they just bought off the rack.
Maybe they should hand out free DVDs of a Spider-Man origin like they used to with Dirt Magazine in them. Always write for free.
This is why our show's called Two Geeks. Movies to comics, but let's see what Bob has to say about it.
I actually like the retelling of origins. I like as again, we're going back to Justice League A New Frontier, Green Lantern's origin. Now, they retold it, but they retold it in a way that, because I never read the original comic, unlike Mr. Simon here, who goes back and has comics. I really like the retelling of origins sometimes. They can tweak it a bit. I like that, too. I really enjoyed New Frontier's version of Green Lantern's origin. I got to see it for the first time. I heard about it before, but I got to see it actually happening on an animated level. But in the comics, when they retell the origin, they can change it. As with Spider-Man, they changed it because he was a science geek at first, and he invented the web shooters. You know, he you can see that. But in the movies, it changed from scientific web shooters to organic web shooters. Now, that changed the origin a bit. But I like retelling origins. That's just me.
Bob, just so you know, I think your cat just showed up. I think you have to go back to the video store and get some new releases. The retelling of origins, come on, are you guys both serious? Now you're telling me, well, in the movie, it's this way, so they need to know. Well, I'm not comparing the movie. I'm talking about straight comics. If I'm buying Green Lantern 30, and they retold the origin of Green Lantern 1, which I will accept because it's the first issue, and they need new readers, la, 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 because little Timmy doesn't know how to read old issues, because that'd be complicated for him to actually go look for something. I know nowadays, kids today, oh, I can go on the internet and find it. Look at me. I'm so smart. But give me a break.
I know what you're saying. I mean, I saw the solicitation for that story arc of Green Lantern. Do we really need to see Hal Jordan's origins again? You're right. 3-4 issues, drag it out. It's unnecessary. But in Countdown and 52, they ran 2-page origin recaps in the back.
I'm never going to read Countdown because it was crap.
Well, that's true, but hopefully they'll collect these again in a Secret Origins trade or something like that on their own.
Isn't that why in bargain bins we have something called Who's Who? Marvel Universe?
No, I mean, Who's Who is just a page of stats.
I know, it has a little thing where they hide out, maybe these people.
I mean, we're talking about 2-page origin retelling by some of the best people in the business.
Do you care?
Sure, I do. I don't mind it.
So you want to know all about, the Living Tribunal. I can't wait to read 2 pages on him. Oh, wait, Bob's back from his cab.
But we're not talking about Living Tribunal's origin. In fact, if someone were to revive Living Tribunal and use him in the story, I would hope they would spend 2 or 3 panels telling us who the fuck he is. Because he's some dude with a fucking cloth on his head. You know, 3 faces and a cloth towel on his head. I mean, I don't know, naked.
Well, I think that's all for this week, folks. I'm sure we'll have another great discussion on HD, high definition. Oh, wait, Kevin bought those and now they don't work because he should have bought a Blu-ray player. Oopsie.
I didn't buy an HD player. What are you talking about?
I thought you were my friend that bought one. Well, that's all from Simon this week. Well, as you know, I'm Simon.
And I'm Kevin.
Bob the intern.
And we'll see you guys next time on 2 Geeks M2C. Can't wait. See you guys soon. Enjoy your movies. Bye. Lying.